بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أدرك أبويه عند الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلم يدخل الجنة رغم أنف، من أدرك أبويه عند الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلم يدخل الجنة. Last week we started talking about this chapter, which, as I said, there is some detail that you people especially should know about, and that is about the rights of parents. And as I said, there are many things in this chapter that we should know. There were six main subjects that we should know about it. One was the importance of obeying the parents according to Islam and Sharia in Quran and Hadith, and we talked about it in our last session in detail. The second is obedience to non-Muslim parents or Muslim parents who are asking the children to do something against the Sharia of Islam. The third is some different manners that we can learn from Quran and Hadith about obeying the parents. Number four, what are the rights of parents after their death? Number five, some punishments from the Ahadith for the person who does not obey his parents or her parents. And number six, God forbid, if parents die while being upset with the child, this boy or this girl did not please her parents or their parents in the lifetime, and they died while they were upset with the child, and now the child realizes, oh, it was wrong on my behalf to disobey my parents. What's the way to make up for that after their death? Is there any way? And if there is, what's the way? So these are some headings that we are, inshallah, going to be talking about in brief today, so we can finish the subject. As far as non-Muslim parents, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطَعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. This is in Surah Luqman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you have parents who are non-Muslims, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ, they force you to do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, you don't want to do that. Remember, there is a rule in Sharia: لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. We can never disobey Allah in order to obey any human being. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first, and then obedience to human beings. But now the problem is, so many ahadiths and so much importance about obeying the parents. Should we let all of that go just like that because they are asking us to do something against the Sharia? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in this ayah of Quran al-Kareem. that if parents are asking the child to do anything against Islam, the child is allowed, or in fact he should not listen to them, only in that matter. Only in that matter. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Quran says, in everything other than those orders that are against Sharia, you must be respectful to them and you must fulfill all of their other orders. In other words, if parents are asking the child to do something against the Sharia, the child cannot say, from now on I won't listen to them because they are asking me to do something wrong. We are not allowed to do that. The maximum we are allowed to do is, we don't listen to them only in that matter because that's against Islam, that's against the Sunnah, that's against Quran. But any other matter, we have to follow them, we have to obey them, and every other way of respect, we have to pay full respect to our parents, because just because of asking us to do something against Sharia, that does not take all of their rights as parents and does not give us the freedom from all of our responsibility towards our parents. Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, he's a Sahabi who was known to be the most respectable to his parents. He was very respectful to his parents, and especially to his mother. When he became Muslim, and his mother found out that he is Muslim, she knew that how much her son loves her and how much he likes her. So she said to his son, Sa'ad, I'm not going to eat or drink anything till you will change your religion again. You come back to Kufr. You start worshipping idols. Now, it was a very difficult task for Sa'd radiallahu anhu, a boy who has been obedient to his mother throughout his life, and he had never said no to his mother throughout his life. And today the mother is asking him to do something that he feels he cannot do. Sa'd radiallahu anhu left home, he came back, so his mother in the same situation, she doesn't want to eat, she doesn't want to drink. Ma'am, please, eat something. No. And the whole day went by and his mother doesn't want to test anything, doesn't want to eat nothing, she doesn't want to drink nothing. Now Sa'd radiallahu anhu is in a terrible situation. He sees his mother not eating and drinking at all. And he is afraid she might starve to death. Ma'am, please, eat something. Son, you know what I have told you. I'm going to eat only if you reject that deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and start worshipping idols again. And he leaves home again. He comes back after some hours. Ma'am, please, take something. No, I won't. And another day went by. Now for 2 days, she did not eat anything and she did not drink anything. Now the third day started. Sa'd radiallahu anhu, in the morning he got up and he left home because he can't see the situation of his mother. He came back home and he sees his mother in a very difficult situation. She's hungry, she's thirsty. She can't even move now, she's in her bed. And she says to him, Sa'd, you know that how badly I need a drink of water now. And if I won't, you know I might lose my life. Sa'd, fulfill my condition and give me the glass of water. Now this is even more difficult situation. That fulfill my condition and give me the glass of water so I can drink. Now what is he going to say? I won't give you the glass of water? He wants to give us the glass of water. He wants to give her something to eat or drink. But she says, only if you denounce Islam, you reject Islam, then you come into kufr again, you start worshipping the idols. Sa'd says to his mother, ma'am, sorry, I can't give you the glass of water under that condition. And he leaves home. He comes back home after some time. And now he sees his mother in much worse situation than before. Now he knows that if he would leave his mother in this situation for too long, she may not survive. So he says to his mother, he begs his mother, ma'am, please take something, eat something, drink something. No. Only if you would hand it to me with your own hands. And handing it to me with your hands means you have accepted my condition, which means you have rejected Islam and accept to enter into kufr and shirk again. And now he sees the situation of mother is getting worse and worse. And this is the third day in a row that she did not eat or drink anything. Finally, Sa'd radiallahu anhu sat by himself and started thinking, and he had to come to a decision and then conclusion. And after a long thinking, he went back to his mother and he says, ma'am, I know that if I would let you go like this in this situation for long, you may not survive for too long. Ma'am, remember one thing. He's crying now, he's weeping, and he's saying this to his mother, and he had to make it clear to his mother because he knows she won't survive for too long after this if he will let her like this. So he says to her, ma'am, listen to this very carefully. My deen is the dearest thing to me that I have ever got in my life. Allah is dearer to me than you are. Therefore, ma'am, I have to tell you this. I'm sorry, but if you have 100 lives and you lose one life after another, keep on dying 100 times, yet I'm not going to denounce Islam and I'm not going to come back to shirk. If you wish, you can go ahead and eat and drink. And if you don't want, I'm leaving and I will come back later and see how you're doing. The mother realized that he's not going to change. So she went back to her food and she started eating, drinking as normal. But that never means that Sa'd radiallahu anhu, after that, became disobedient to his mother. Okay, see, I forced her to accept my conditions, so now I'm not going to listen to her, and she did this to me. She was forcing me, so I won't stay with her now. Sa'd radiallahu anhu again became as obedient as he was before, in fact, more. So according to the Sharia of Islam, if parents ask the child to do something, non-Muslim parents ask the children to do something against Islam, yet even they are non-Muslims, although they are non-Muslims, yet we have to obey those parents also, and we have to be respectful to them and fulfill all of their rights, except when they ask us to do something, ask the children to do something against Sharia, then children are not allowed to listen to them. In the ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us some different manners of respecting our parents. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says in the hadith narrated in Kanz al-Ummal that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Min haqq al-walidi 'ala waladihi an yakhsha'a lahu 'inda al-ghadab." It's the right of parents that whenever parents are upset, children should become very humble, extremely humble themselves before their parents. And at that time when parents are angry, they should let them say whatever they want and do whatever they have to get their anger out, because it's the right to be angry with their children, and children have no right to say anything bad to their parents. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, وَيُؤْثِرُهُ عِنْدَ الشِّكَارَ. Whenever there is any hardship, children should always give their preference to their parents to have rest before they would have the rest. Came back from somewhere tired. Everyone feels like going to bed and resting. Someone has to go and do some work. Some lights need to be turned off, for example. Some meal has to be warmed up. or have to prepare some food. Who's going to do that work? Sometimes we let all of that work for our parents, let them do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's the right of parents that whenever there is any hard time, any difficulty, whenever people are tired, parents should have the first preference of having all the rest, and children should do their best to have their parents have all the rest. Remember, in the childhood, parents have sacrificed all of their rest for children's rest. Until we grow up, and of course now is their right to have rest. And we work for them and we do everything possible for them so that they will have rest. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith, Anas radiyallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حق الوالد على ولده أن لا يسميه إلا بما سمى إبراهيم به أباه. It's the right of parents, of father, that no child should call his father with any name other than what Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam called his father. Ibrahim alayhi salam's father was Mushrik. We know it from Quran al-Kareem that Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam's father was Mushrik. And not only that he was mushrik, he was forcing even Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam to do shirk. And he said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, if you won't come back to shirk, I'll kick you out of my home or I'm going to punish you and make a lesson for everyone else who will not, who make you become a lesson for every person who does not worship the idols. Yet Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, when he called his father, he said, Ya Abati, O dad, O my dad. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, do not call your father with his name. It's disrespect to call the parents with their name, tell them ma'am, dad, or whatever you have in your language, but it's disrespectful to call the parents with their name. Also, when we look in Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam, when he called his father also, he said, Ya Aba tif'al ma tu'mar, dad, do whatever you wish. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam told him that I've seen a dream that I'm slaughtering you. Look at the obedient son. Right away he says to his father, dad, do whatever you have been ordered, do whatever you like. If you have to slaughter me, go ahead and slaughter me. To that extent. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, La tamshi amama abi. Never walk in front of your father. When you're walking, don't walk in front of your father. It's a disrespect to your father. Wala tastabbalahu. And never become a cause for other people to curse him. Don't do things that people will curse at your father that, look, his father never taught him the manners. His father is like this and like this. So don't become a cause for people to curse at your parents. Because when you do something wrong, people may not just curse at you, they will curse at your parents also. Let's see, they didn't teach him the manners. وَلَا تَجْلِسْ قَبْلَهُ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are together somewhere, don't sit down before your father. It's a respect. Don't sit down before your father. وَلَا تَدْعُهُ بِإِسْمِهِ And do not call him with his name. And these are different manners that Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, of course, not only they observed with their parents, even with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They never used to sit before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they would never walk in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But nowadays, we see at homes, I have seen with my own eyes, children sitting with their feet facing towards their face, towards their parents. They are sitting with stretching their feet, and their feet are facing their parents, and they are as if they are not doing anything wrong. And sometimes I have even seen with my own eyes, children are sitting on the sofa and parents come and they sit underneath. It's disrespect to the parents. Even if they tell you stay there, that doesn't mean you don't respect them. You get up and come down. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, when he talked in Ihya ul-Ulum about the rights of parents, he went to the extent saying that don't even eat with your father at the same time. The reason he mentions because your father might like some of the food. There might be a piece of meat that he wants to eat, and you might go ahead and pick it up before him. That's a disrespect to your father. So he said, let him have whatever he wants first and then take whatever you want. So Islam emphasizes on these rights of parents, and really these are very important respect of parents that we need to observe. If parents die, does that end the subject that okay, now parents are dead and we do not have to do anything more for them? No. Remember, respect to parents. In other words, I should say that rights of parents do not end just at their death. It does not end at their death, it ends at our death. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us different ways how can we be nice to our parents and fulfill their rights after their death. Abu Usaid radiallahu anhu says, once we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person came and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a very important question. He said, Ya Rasulullah, هل بقي من بر أبوي شيء أبرهما من بعد موتهما؟ Ya Rasulullah, is there anything more I have to do for my parents after their death? I fulfilled all of their rights during their lifetime. Ya Rasulullah, is there anything I have to do for my parents after their death? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, Na'am, yes. Yet there are some things that you have to do for your parents. What are those? Number one, As-salatu alayhima. Keep on praying for them. Make dua for them. Number two, Wal-istighfaru lahuma. Keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for your parents. Number three, وَإِنْفَادُ عَهْدِهِمَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمَا. Fulfill all of their will. They might have asked to do things, they have will, they have written their wills, or even verbally they have asked you to do things. Fulfill all of those things that they asked you to do. وَصِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ الَّتِي لَا تُوصَلُ إِلَّا بِهِمَا. And be nice to your relatives because you have relationship with people, with those people only through your parents. Aunts, uncles, all of them, their relationship is through your parents. Brothers, sisters, everyone. Our relationship is through our parents. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of the rights of parents is that we have to be nice to all the relatives also because they are related to us through our parents. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِكْرَامُ صَدِيقِهِمَا. And at the same time, be nice to your parents' friends also. Treat your parents' friends nicely also because they were the friends of your parents, so they have some rights on you. This is how much rights parents have on us. That even after their death, we have to do all of these things for them. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu narrates in another hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَصِلَ أَبَاهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ فَلْيَصِلْ إِخْوَانَ أَبِيهِ بَعْدَهُ. Whoever would like to fulfill the rights of his parents after their death should be nice to their friends. This person should be nice to their friends and should go and treat their friends well, so this person is fulfilling the rights of his parents. Once Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was traveling between Makkah and Medina, he saw a woolly goat who was riding his horse and going somewhere. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu gave that woolly goat, in fact that person was walking. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu gave him his horse, and Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was wearing imamah. And remember, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was a sahabi with a great respect at that time among Sahaba and amongst other people. His students, he had all of his students with him. But yet at that time, when he saw that person, that villager walking, he gave him his right, and at the same time he gave him his imamah. He took his imamah up and gave it to that person. So some of his students said, "Abdullah, these people, these villagers, you don't have to give them too much. You're giving someone an imamah, putting your imamah on someone's head, especially when a great person is doing this. This means you are giving that person a lot of respect." Of course, normally we pass our imamahs to each other. That's different. That's something simple. But for a great person, a person of great honor and respect and a great scholar, passing his imamah, putting his imamah on the head of another person, that simply means that he's doing something great. Really, he has given him a lot of honor and a lot of respect. So they said to him, "Ibn Umar, ya Abdullah, why did you do so much for him? You could have given him something minor. You don't have to give him your ride and your imamah, your horse and your imamah." Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, "The reason I did this because his father was my father's friend. It's not that he was my father's friend. His father was my father's friend. And I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that whoever would like to fulfill the rights of his parents should be nice to his father's friends, his parents' friends after that death. So this is why I did this for him." And as we are talking about this, I should also pause here for a minute to remind ourselves that in Sharia, these are the rights of parents. According to the Sharia, these are the rights of our teachers also. Those people that we learn, especially people that we learn Quran and Hadith from, especially people that we learn our deen from, they deserve the same respect and rights. This is why once Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he was teaching his students. And while he was teaching, the students realized that every some time, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi stands up, and then after a while he sits down. While he's teaching, he's in the class, he's teaching his students. He gets up, and after some time then he sits back. Again after some time he will stand up, and then he will sit down. They were surprised, amazed, that what's happened, what's wrong with him? Is there any problem with his leg or something? Why he gets up and then he sits down every some time? After the class, they asked him, "Imam, today you were doing this, you were standing up and then you will sit down, then you will stand up and then you will sit down again. Why you were doing that?" He said, "Did you see those children? There were children playing outside." He said, "Did you see those children were playing there?" He said, "Yes." They said, "Yes, yeah, the children were playing." He said, "The reason I was getting up, when the children were playing, as those children will come close to us while playing, you know, they were playing ball or something and ball will come close to the class. So as these children will come close to us, I used to get up because one of the children who was playing there, his father was my teacher. One of the children who's playing there, his father was my teacher, and as a respect to his father, I get up for him also." The child is playing and doesn't even know it. But as a respect to his father, because his father was my teacher, I was getting up for his son also. So when his son was getting close to me, I would get up. And then as they would go away, then I would sit down. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, who was the student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, once he was in the class, his son was sick for some time, and people informed him while he was in the class that your son's situation is very critical. So he said to those people, "Now the class is going on and he's learning hadith from Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. He's learning the meaning of hadith from Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi." He did not want to leave the class. So he said to those people, "That go and take care of my son for me." After some time, someone else came. He said, "You know, your son's situation is getting very critical, more and worse and worse." He said, "You know, the mother will take care and there are some other people who might take care of him." After some time, he's in the class. Now, another person came and whispered to him while he's in the class, you know, your son have died. So he says to this person, look how much respect they had for Quran and Hadith. He says to his son, that person, that go and prepare his grave and bury him, perform the janazah prayer on him and bury him. And that person went back and they performed his janazah, they washed his body, they performed the janazah prayer, they buried him, and Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi is still sitting in his class. When the class was over, Imam Abu Hanifa asked him, what was going on? He said, you know, people were informing me that my son was sick, and then they informed me that my son died. I told him that go and bury him. He said, why didn't you tell me? I would have stopped the class. He said, no, I did not want to disturb the class of hadith. When the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are being graded, I did not want to disturb that class just because of my son's death. This is how much respect they had for this knowledge of deen. So, anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the rights of parents, and in brief, if you look at these hadith, we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us five things to do for our parents after their death. Number one, making dua for them. Number two, doing istighfar for them, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for them. Number three, if they have made any will, to make sure that everything is carried out and we fulfill all of those things that they have said in the will. As long as, of course, those things are according to Sharia. Number four, being nice to all the relatives, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, our relationship with those people is through our parents. And number five, being nice to the friends of our parents, because that's also part of the respect. As we learn the importance of obeying the parents and the reward that we get for obeying the parents, as I said, last session we mentioned some hadith. One of them was looking at the parents with a love. The person gets the reward of Hajj and Umrah. And another hadith of Jihad, Hajj and Umrah. So it's such a great reward. And of course, at the same time, we know from Quran and Hadith that it's a great responsibility of ours to fulfill the rights of our parents. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even told as the punishment for disobeying the parents. If a person will disobey the parents, then there is punishment also, and the punishment is very severe also. There is a hadith in Bukhari, Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As radiyallahu anhu narrates the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are four very major sins. Four sins are very major in Islam. Ala ukhbirukum bi akbar al-kaba'ir? He asked Sahaba, should I inform you of the most major sins in Islam? They said, yes, ya Rasulullah, please tell us where are those. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, number one, al-ishraku billah. Associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we all know what type of sin that is. That's the worst sin any human being can commit in this life, making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, number two, uququl walidain. The second sin is, second sin to shirk and disobey, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is disobeying the parents. Number three, qatlun nafs, killing innocent person. And number four, وَالْيَمِينُ الْغَمُوزِ, and taking oath on something that's false. Taking a false oath. We know that it's not right. It's not, this is not how this is, this thing happened. And we take oath, lying on that issue, that this is exactly how it happened. So we are using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on something that's wrong. So these are the major sins, and as we see, one of this major sin is disobedience to parents. In other hadith which is narrated in Nasa'i, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. There are three people that Allah will not have mercy on them on the Day of Judgment. What a bad sin. What a severe punishment it is that Allah will not have any mercy on these people on the Day of Judgment. On that day, if a person does not receive the mercy of Allah, will not be able to go to Jannah. Our prayers, our Quran, our ibadah is not enough to take us to Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Three types of people, Allah will not even look towards them on the Day of Judgment, and He will not have any mercy on those people on the Day of Judgment. Who are those three people? أَلْعَاقُ لِوَالِدَيْنِ. Number one, a person who is disobedient to his parents. Number two, وَالدَّيُّوْ. A man whose wife goes out of the home without hijab, and he does not prevent her from that. And number three, الرَّجِلَة, which means a woman who tries to look like a man, who dresses up like a man, who tries to look like a man, cutting her hair short, walking on the streets with that type of dress, trying to act like a man and work like a man. So these three people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will not have any mercy on them on the Day of Judgment. In another hadith which is in al-Tabrani, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu writes the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يراح ريح الجنة من مسيرة 500 عام. People can get the fragrance of the Jannah from a distance of 500 years. If a person is such a far distance away from Jannah that it will take him 500 years to get to the Jannah, yet he will be able to smell the Jannah, the fragrance of the Jannah from a distance of 500 years. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but there are three people who will not get the fragrance of the Jannah. That means they won't even get that close to Jannah. They won't even be able to get on a distance of 500 years from Jannah. They will be even much further away from it. Which means they will be just close to the hellfire. They will not even get closer to Jannah. Who are those three people? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, number one, مَنَّانُ بِعَمَلِهِ. A person who keeps on reminding his favors. He has done favors to a person, he keeps on reminding him, you know, I helped you that day, remember? Every time he's just reminding him of that favor. So he's putting him down, in other words, to put the person down by reminding the favors, make him feel bad. Number two, a person who's disobedient to parents. And number three, مُدْمِنُ خَمْرٍ, a person who's used to drinking alcohol, who drinks alcohol. In another hadith, which is in al-Targhib al-Tarheeb, Abu Umama radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are some people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept. La yaqbalu Allahu minhum sarfan wala adla. Will not accept any fard or any nafl from these people. If they will perform any fard prayer, any fard fast, they are paying the zakat, Allah will not accept none of his fard and will not even accept any of the nafl ibadah that this person will do. SubhanAllah. This person is doing so much and he's not getting the reward of anything. Who are these people? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, number one, a person who is disobedient to parents. Number two, mannan, same thing, a person who keeps on reminding others of his favors. And number three, mukaddibun biqadr, a person who rejects the destiny. He does not put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says that, I don't believe in destiny. There is nothing like qadr and taqdeer. There is another hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Tabrani, and Al-Targhib wa-Tarheem. Amr bin Murra al-Juhani radiallahu anhu says that a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, shahidtu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka Rasulullah. I have became Muslim and I have witnessed La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَصَلَّيْتُ الْخَمْسِ And I always perform the fara'id regularly on time. وَأَدَّيْتُ الزَّكَاةَ مَالِ And I always paid the zakah. وَصُمْتُ رَمَضَان And I always fasted during the month of Ramadan. So now what do you say about me, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى هَذَا Whoever will die while being punctual in fulfilling all of these things that you have just mentioned, كَانَ مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصُّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ هَكَذَا That person will be with Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, with Siddiqeen, with Shuhada on the Day of Judgment. مَا لَمْ يَعُقَّ وَالِدَيْهِ As long as that person does not disobey his parents. As long as he will not disobey his parents, he will be with Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam on the Day of Judgment. But as if this person will disobey his parents or her parents, then as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the hadith that we just talked about, that no fard or nafl can be accepted from this person or will be accepted from this person. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, Jabir bin Samura radiallahu anhu says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid and he went up on the minbar. As he was going up on the minbar, on the first step of the minbar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. Then he went on the second step of the minbar and he said, Ameen. He went on the third step on the minbar and he said, Ameen. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why did you say the Ameen for? We were not hearing, we did not hear anyone making any dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As I was going up on the minbar, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam came to me and he said, Ya Muhammad, ba'uda man adraka ramadana falam yukfar lahu faqultu ameen. Muhammad, woe to the person, cursed is the person who gets the month of Ramadan and yet does not get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even during the month of Ramadan. I said, ameen. On the second step, Rasulullah Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam said, بعد من ذكرت عنده فلم يصلي عليه فقلت آمين He said, Woe to the person before whom your name will be mentioned and he does not send blessings on you. And I said, Ameen. On the third step, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam said, بعد من أدرك أبويه الكبر أو أحدهما أو كلاهما فلم يدخلاه الجنة فقلت آمين Woe to the person who gets his both parents or one of his parents in their old age and he does not get the Jannah by serving his parents and I said Ameen. So, this is how important for us to obey our parents and make sure that we get the Jannah by serving our parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once he said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een, من أكبر من الكبائر شتم الرجل والديه is one of the most major sins in Islam that a person curses his own parents. The major sin in Islam that the person curses his own parents. And in those days, even though there was a days of Jahiliyyah and before Islam, Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam have seen those days of Jahiliyyah, yet those people would never imagine someone disobeying, someone cursing as his parents. Nowadays, became very normal. Children, as soon as they get a little upset, they start saying something back to their parents. So Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa jma'een, they ask, Ya Rasulullah, وَهَلْ يَشْتِمُ الرَّجُلُ وَالِدَيْهِ Will it ever happen that anyone will curse at his own parents? It was something amazing for them. It was unimaginable for them. They could never think that someone will curse at his own parents. They said, Ya Rasulullah, and they are asking, this hadith is in Bukhari Muslim, that they were asking, Ya Rasulullah, would it ever happen that anyone would curse his own parents? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yes, if they won't curse at their parents directly, If the child, if someone will curse at someone else's parents, and that person will curse at your parents, you are getting the sin as if you have cursed your own parents, because you became the cause. So if a person just becomes a cause of someone cursing his parents, you curse someone else's parents, and that person is going to curse your parents. So you became a cause. Imagine, if just becoming a cause is a major sin, so what will be the punishment for cursing parents directly, as many people do it nowadays? Let me ask you. And remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, كُلُّ الذُّنُوبِ يُؤَخِّرُ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا مَا شَاءَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا عُقُوقَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah may not punish any person in this life for the sins that that person is committing. He may just give the person, allow the person to have some good time in this world, except if a person will disobey parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the person in this life also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that disobedience to parents is a type of sin that before the person will go in his grave, in this life, that person will see the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be punished in this world by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for disobeying parents. This is why, once a person was brought to us, once someone came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, shabun yajudu bi nafsi. There is a person, there is a young boy who's dying. And we told him to say, La ilaha illallah, but that person wasn't able to say it. That person wasn't able to say, La ilaha illallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first question he asked, Kana yusalli? Does he used to perform the salah? They said, Yes, Ya Rasulullah, he used to pray. He used to perform the salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Okay, if he was doing the salah, then I might be able to help him. So remember, that's the first condition, salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to that boy and he said to him, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ That boy said, لَا أَسْتَطِيعُ I want to say it, but I cannot. I'm not able to say the word, I don't know what. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِمَا How come you can't say it? He said, my feeling at this time is because I was disobeying my parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that there is no way I can make him say La ilaha illallah now except if I talk to his parents. So he asked, Is his mother alive? They said, Yes, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Go and call his mother. They went and called her, his mother. When she came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, Hada ibnuki? Is this your son? She said, Yes, Ya Rasulullah. He explained to her the situation, see, he's dying and he's not able to say La ilaha illallah. She said, Yeah, he was a bad boy and he always disobeyed me and I don't like him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I think what we have to do now is, we have to put on a fire and burn your son in the fire. His soul is not coming out. The soul is stuck. We have to burn him in the fire. She said, Ya Rasulullah, please, no, don't burn him in the fire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Then you make me a witness that you are pleased with him and you have forgiven all of his mistakes. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that because he wanted her to forgive him. So as soon as she said, Okay, Ya Rasulullah, I am forgiving him and you be witness, my witness that I am forgiving all of his mistakes and now I am pleased with him. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya ghulam, qul la ilaha illallah. Boy, say la ilaha illallah now. So right away he said, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alhamdulillah alladhi anqadahu bi min an-nar. I thank Allah who protected him through me against the hellfire. So if a person does not say, is disobedient to parents, it will be even difficult for this child, for this man, for this woman, to even say la ilaha illallah at the time of their death. Awam bin Hawshif radiyallahu anhu, who is a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, once I went out in one of the villages, I went to a masjid to perform the salah over there. I performed salatul asr in the masjid, and just on a short distance from the masjid, there was a cemetery, there was a graveyard. As I came out of the masjid after salatul asr, he said, I looked at the graveyard and I saw a man coming out of a grave. A person coming out of his grave. That person's head, his face, was just like a face of a donkey. The rest of it is the body of a man. But his face is just like a face of a donkey. And that man started braying like a donkey. No, braying means making the noise of a donkey. He started braying like a donkey. Then he went back in his grave and the grave was closed. I got scared when I saw that. I asked people around me. I said, what's going on with this man? So there was an old lady sitting far away from there. They pointed towards that lady. They said, go and ask that lady, that old woman. So I went to her and asked her, that can you tell me something about this man? She said, yes. I am his mother. Kana yashrab al-khamr. He used to drink alcohol. And every time he would come home, I used to tell him, Ya bunayya ittaqillah. Oh my son, fear Allah. Ila mata tashrab hadhihi al-khamr. How long are you going to continue drinking alcohol? You better stop doing this. Perform the salah. See, the salat al-asr is just over. Why don't you go and do the salah? When I told him this, he said to me, "Innama anti tanhaqina kama yanhaqu al-himar." You just bray like a donkey. You just always keep on shouting at me and you just bray like a donkey. She said, when he died, since that day, every day, this is a punishment that he's getting in his grave, that his face is turned into a face of a donkey, and every day he comes out of his grave, and he brays like a donkey, then he goes back into the grave. And he said, she said, through this I know that he must have a worse punishment inside, but this is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us that this is the punishment he's getting for being disobeying to me, and for saying those words to me. So look at this. What a punishment it is for those people who disobey their parents. And of course, if we are obedient to our parents, there is a great reward at the same time. So we have to control our anger. We have to control our anger when parents are telling us something and when they get upset. Of course, never think whose mistake it is. When it comes to parents, never try to think of whose mistake it was. Always say, always think to yourself that, okay, I have to listen to them. Even if you feel that this was their mistake, that's fine. These are my parents. I have to listen to them. I have to obey them because they have much greater right on me than only listening to them when they are upset. So what? If they get upset, listen to them. After some time, you go and apologize to them and they will be pleased. And whatever, remember, whatever they do for children and to the children, they always do it for the best of children. They never try to hurt their children. Parents will never try to hurt their children. They always do it for the best of their children. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.